Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there, welcome. So glad you're with us today. If you want to join us, you can on YouTube. Go to the New Life YouTube channel, New Life Live. Joining me there in the studio right there in California, Dr. Jill Hubbard. Hi, Jill.
Hello. Hi, Steve. Hi, everybody.
And soon to join us, Jackie Mack Harris is going to be with us. Dr. Harris has been on before. And I want to mention to everybody, again, that it is Mental Health Awareness Month. We're all pretty much aware of those that are mentally unhealthy around us. And we usually think that there has to be some way to get them to change, but that isn't true. And so one of the things that really is common in folks, whether you're in a Christian marriage or not, is disconnection. You've come along, you've got these expectations, and you disconnect from each other. Mm-hmm. And if you're in that place, I got to tell you, July, when we do our marriage intensive, it is a great place to get that stuff out of the way. I mean, it really does clear it up and you get reconnected and the marriage starts to feel and look just like you thought it was going to be when you thought about, oh, we ought to get married. So, yeah, look into that and sign up for that.
What you're saying, Steve, is that in Mental Health Awareness Month, the mental health of your marriage, right? Because there's you, there's your spouse, but then there's your marriage, and you need that to be mentally healthy in order to thrive.
And not easy to do.
No, it isn't.
It's a tough world out there. And mm-hmm. I tell you, there are so many different messages of what's right and what isn't. It's very confusing for a lot of people, and that's why we always try to be we're consistent in the message here. And God needs to be the center of the marriage, but God being the center of the marriage doesn't solve everything, doesn't fix everything. We still have problems, and we're not immune to problems. So, if you need some help, boy, that could really do it. Right now, if you want to join us on the program, you could call us by calling 1-800-229-3000. And I'm going to go right to the phones and talk with Sandy, Riverside, California, listening on KKLA. Hello, Sandy. How are you today?
I'm doing okay, thank you. It's nice to talk to you.
Yeah, nice to talk to you. What's going on in your life today?
Well, I've done everything that I can to overcome a marital jealousy, and it seems like it's always controls my mind, and I just can't seem to overcome it.
You're
I've
jealous done of
that
your
I can
husband.
On my own.
You're jealous of what I'm your jealous. Husband's doing.
He's a faithful man, but inside of my mind, I'm jealous of his interacting having. That he might have a desire or connect with another woman.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so here's the big question. The obvious question, here we go. Where do you think that comes from? He's faithful, trustworthy. You're insecure about his connection with others. Any idea, looking back over the years, where that overwhelming sense of I'm going to be betrayed or I can't trust this guy, where it might come from?
Well, probably two places. My own self-talk, which is insecurity, and probably also that, my mother and father divorced, and my father remarried at 4 years old, and I never saw my mother again. So, it could come from that, but, I'm not sure.
Never saw your mother
again.
That's huge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is huge. That's not something we just pray away ever. All right, we'll help you when we come back. 1-800-229-3000. Really glad that you called us with that. That's rough. We'll be back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Dr. Jill Hubbard is here, and we're talking with Sandy, and these things happen. Sometimes you end up with somebody that's absolutely worthy of your trust, and then you can't trust them. Jill, what do you think?
Well, Sandy, I think it's no small thing what you shared. And sometimes, you know, we get so used to our stories that we kind of detach from them as if they are no big deal. But I think to have lost your mom at 4 years old, and I don't, was this a situation where your dad, betrayed her in any way?
I think they both betrayed each other. I was too young to really know, but they divorced for that reason.
Okay, and then she was gone. So at a young age, you internalize the fact that marriage isn't forever, right? And that things happen and people leave. And I think losing them, I mean, we need our moms, especially in those younger years. And to not have that, it doesn't mean that you can't have a wonderful dad and other people filling in. But that's a really significant loss. And Sandy, if you've never gotten some help for that, I would suggest you do that, because now what's happening is a lot of times our issues kind of find a way to express themselves, and they don't always come out in the exact form. And so yours is coming out. Now, your husband being the significant person in your life right now, the fear at some level of losing him in some way, and that another person could come in and take your spot.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and I think, too, at age 4, when this happened, could you express what that felt like? No, didn't even have the words. Did you have somebody that you could share that with? Probably not. And so when you're jealous, there has to be in you a survival instinct that's trying to protect yourself or worried for yourself that you might experience something that is so painful, death would be a relief. If he were to leave you, it taps into what happened at age 4.
Right.
And it, you know, no one wants somebody to leave them. But for you, what you had to go through at 4, man, that is why it's got to be hyper sensitive to you. Now, what kind of discussions have the two of you had about how you feel?
Well, mostly I try to hold it in, and then finally it just explodes, and I just tell him how I feel, whether it's someone that he's befriended or, you know, just I'll let it out. And he is very supportive. You know, one reason I do have to share is that I was married before my husband passed, but he did cheat on me in my early years and never really loved me, but we stayed together a lot of years. So,
your first husband,
a lot of it probably.
Yeah, so that also really factors in, because it's compounded, right? Because not only did you have the fear because of your mom and dad, now you get married and the exact thing happens that you feared.
Now, I want to tell you why my wife would never be jealous of somebody that I would befriend. Are you ready?
Yeah.
I don't befriend any female. You know, I've known Jill. How long have we known each other, Jill?
I met you when I was 22.
Years. Let's say 35 years we've known each other. How many times have we ever been alone together?
Only if there were glass walls.
I mean, I just, and never do we, hey, let's go to lunch together. I mean, we are like buddies.
Yeah.
And we just don't. So when somebody says, I'm jealous of the women he's befriending, I want to know, what is that about? I mean,
Well, I mean, to me, I feel like it's all in my mind, because it could be the grocery store clerk that he always, you know, yes. kids around with. It could be the going to the same place all the time, or you know, working out in the front yard, and there's always certain people that pass by. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's my mind, okay. I feel like.
So,
it's
Sandy, that is really, really good insight, because you're projecting your fears onto every situation, and it's amazing what the mind can do. You can create scenarios of rendezvous out of nothing, probably, right? And so, but absolutely. When you say them out loud to another person, this is why therapy would be really good. When you say them out loud to another person, you will hear and see that there's probably no basis to that, right?
No, those are just condemned, those, actually. Then what? I feel condemned.
Well, okay, so those are your negative fantasies. And then you feel condemned for it? No, you should. This is about compassion for that little girl that was trying to make sense of her world that was falling apart, and that were, you know, new people were being substituted in. And that's where you go. That's why it's so irrational.
So here's the moment of truth. Why haven't you been in counseling for this for a very long time? Why not?
I feel like when I ask the Lord about it, it's like I feel like it's just sin that's living in me.
Yeah, right. Okay, so you felt like it's sin. That's why you didn't go to counseling? Because if I'm living in sin, counseling
only
isn't going
to
help me?
Only perfect people come to counseling.
Well, tell me about that, because this is something
I feel like
that's
I don't have the strength to die to myself, and I want to please the Lord.
Okay, and you don't think counseling could help you with that? You didn't put that together?
I felt like it should be the Lord, I guess.
Well, the Lord joins us in counseling.
Absolutely.
I would never go into a counseling appointment without the Lord.
Absolutely. And so what I'm saying is, what made you resist is important for other people to look out to, because they may be resisting for the same reason.
See, so here, Sandy, what's happening is you are defaulting to how you survived as a child. You were all alone with all of these thoughts. You had to figure out what was going on and then figure out a way to survive. You are still operating in that vein. You've just put the cloak of Christianity over it, saying, well, I just need the Lord, right? And because I'm such a bad sinner, I just need to keep going to the Lord more. Yes, you need to keep going to the Lord, right? But he brings us other people to be in relationship, to help show us the way. That's why Jesus came, right? He became human to show us the way, because just all on our own, we were floundering.
And we were created for relationship, but we heal in relationship as well. And that therapeutic relationship can be really powerful. Mm-hmm. And as Jill said, the Holy Spirit has to be in that work with me. There's just no way I can do it on my own. So if you're feeling like this is sin, maybe God is saying there is help available for you. And sin shows up in our lives in various different ways. And so we can deal with the lying. We can deal with addiction. We can deal with a lot of the wrong that we see in the world in that therapy room. Mm-hmm. But it happens in relationship. And you get to choose that.
Yeah.
And I would add another S word in there. I think your sin is your shame.
Mm-hmm.
And shame can only be healed in relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes life. It doesn't give life. And so every time you hear those dark thoughts about yourself, and it's just me, and it's just sin, and I'm just bad, and why can't I? That's not what God intends for you to live in to give him glory, right? Mm-hmm. It's okay to call those things out and to confess those things, but then once that's done, let's reach for the light, and you can get that in relationship, in a good therapeutic relationship.
Okay, so I'll send you a forgiving, our fathers and mothers, and I'm going to send you healing is a choice, and I hope those, along with we'd like to find a counselor for you. Emotional freedom workshop that Chris Williams and I do would be another great option for you. But, oh my goodness, I want you free of this shame and free of this false belief that if I'm a sinner, I'm the one that has to, in and of myself, on my own, get out of that sin. It's just not true. If you're really stuck, You need help mm-hmm. from other people. Mm-hmm. And what a great thing to be able to admit. I have an extreme limitation. And in and of myself, I can't do this, so I'm going to get help from somebody else.
And when you enter into that healing process, then, Sandy, you can also bring your husband into that. And even though he's not doing the things that you fear, he can still be part of your healing. And you need that emotional connection. You need to feel connected mm-hmm. to him, yeah. right? So that you can have a contrast of reality versus those negative fantasies.
Yeah.
All right. Really glad you called. And I hope something we've said is helpful. You've been hearing the voice of Jackie Mac Harris. We told them you were coming, and so I think they knew that was you.
Yes.
But anyway, welcome, and thanks for being with us here today.
Thanks
we always
for
love having
me.
You. And as people know, I don't always love having everybody. So, but we do love having you, and glad you're here.
Well,
let's
you've been
go
invited
to
back. So that's
yeah,
good.
That's right.
That's
let's
sign.
Go to our next caller, Leslie. She's calling from Colorado Springs, Colorado, KGFT. Hi there, Leslie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good. Yeah. Now that Jackie Mac Harris is here, I mean, I'm so worried. It doesn't matter. Why isn't she here? But she's here. So, yeah, how can we help you today?
Well, yes, I listened to you recently on the Focus broadcast with your story of depression and your book. And I've experienced depression myself off and mm-hmm. on, so I'm familiar with how it can completely alter your brain function and processes and so forth. But my question is more about my best friend. She has struggled more with chronic depression her whole life, and then she was diagnosed with bipolar about 10 years ago and put on full disability, and she's pretty much just checked out from life and has become a recluse, hasn't worked, and so forth. And she used to believe in God somewhat. She was kind of raised in the church, but her family has progressively moved more away, and her husband and her have now become pretty much full-on pagans, and she professes to be a pagan witch. So I used to try to pray with her and minister to her, but I can't really use, religion anymore to get mm-hmm. to her other than praying myself. But my question is just how do I support her? How do I reach her? I'm kind of at a loss at this point.
Yeah, I would be too. Mm-hmm. What kind of help is she getting? Are you aware of any?
Yeah, she's been getting counseling for a while, and then she's been getting pretty consistent, I think it's called ECT, electronic shock therapy, or you would know better than
yeah,
me.
Yeah, right.
She's been
electroconvulsive therapy, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Which
been
is reserved.
Pretty consistently.
Which is reserved for folks that have exhausted every other option.
Right, treatment-resistant yeah. depression.
So she, yeah.
Yes.
You know, isn't it amazing?
Yeah, I heard you guys.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Yeah, I've heard you guys mention that before, treatment-resistant mm-hmm. depression. And so she's definitely at that point, but I guess my concern is that they're just so her and her husband are so reclusive. He works full-time, but he pretty much comes home in the evening. They just play video games. They don't have much of a social life. They live out in the country. I just feel like their situation is just, exacerbating things.
Leslie?
And her family and I both.
Oh, her family's concerned too? Leslie,
yeah.
mm-hmm. when did she start the ECT? How long ago? Like, do you know how many treatments she's had?
She goes, I think, every 3 weeks, and she's been going for about 4 years.
Oh,
wow.
A lot.
Okay. So a lot of times you have a series of treatments to get you through the darkest period. And then it takes a couple of years to really fully come back because there is memory loss that's associated with it.
Mm-hmm.
But she's having an ongoing regimen of it. So, mm-hmm.
Oh, it's so sad, when people yeah. sink into mm-hmm. a chronic illness like this. Mm-hmm. And then rather than think, oh, you know, maybe there's some healing, maybe God could help me, turn away from God. I hate that. We'll try to give you some help on a couple of insights, but it really is tough when both husband and wife have sunken into the same kind of situation. We'll be back.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and Leslie, we'll try to give you a couple of things here. First of all, you know, you can't help everybody. And sometimes we have to resign ourselves to, okay, I'm going to check in with them. I'm going to pray for them every day. I'm going to just be a nice person. I might, you know, send a gift or whatever, just showing I'm consistently here for you if you ever need me. Sometimes that is the best we can do. But maybe Jackie Mack or Jill, you have an idea or two here for her.
Oh, I was just thinking how great it is that they have each other. And it sounds like, mm-hmm. yes, they've become kind of reclusive, but are they doing well, eating, taking care of bills, upkeeping the home? Like, are they okay? Because it could be that being out in the world is so overstimulating that it causes episodes. And so she might be stable right now while she's going through this treatment, mm-hmm. being, you know, staying away from a lot of stimulation and activity might be what's best for them. And we're still kind of in a pandemic. And so some mm-hmm. people are more reclusive than they would have been otherwise. And so this might actually be helpful for her. I understand the concern about mm-hmm. the spiritual aspect and her turning to paganism. I would just say, you know, God has called us to love everyone, and I think one of the things sometimes we don't do well in our attempt to help people heal is love them. Mm-hmm. And that just means total acceptance mm-hmm. of who you are. It doesn't mean that we agree with choices people make, but they're not our choices to make. So it's not up for us to agree with them. Mm-hmm. She just needs to know her best friend still mm-hmm. loves her. And mm-hmm. that's you being God in her life, whether she believes in God or not. And so you just continue to mm-hmm. be the love of God in her life and checking in and being a resource. And in the moment when the world opens up and she can see light and color again, that you're still there as a friend, and that relationship is still there for her to be able to lean on and use as a resource.
Yeah, this is part of long-suffering, mm-hmm. Leslie. It's really hard. And what's okay to you may be different than what's okay to her. Right? The standards may be different. And we mm-hmm. have seen people go through really dark valleys, and it seems like they're lost forever. And then mm-hmm. eventually they hit a point in the treatment and things turn around. And it's really surprising and wonderful. I mean, I would echo everything that Jackie is saying, but also asking her, is there anything I can do for you? Mm-hmm. How can I support you? Mm-hmm. And asking her mm-hmm. that, right? And
okay.
And letting her know you miss her.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think sometimes we mm-hmm. want to support people in the way that we want to support them. We want
yes.
to see them change in the way that we want to see them change. But there's something about that radical acceptance that can bring about healing. And so, yeah, check in. What does she want? And, you know, a lot of times we're not taught to ask about our own needs. What do I think? What do I feel? What do I need right now? And that's because people are often telling us what we need. So what if you asked her and yeah. gave that and just see how that goes and see if you can settle in and let that be enough for you as well.
Yes. And, you know, oftentimes when somebody turns their back on God, it's because somebody that said they were representing God turned their back on the person. Mm-hmm. And so we really mm-hmm. have to be careful. When people have chronic problems and they don't just instantly respond and get over them, we got to be careful what we do with that. Well, I'll send you a copy of Take Your Life Back. I hope that in that you'll see some things that might help as you do stay in touch with her. Don't give up on her. Be persistent. That's the thing that I think would be most valuable. Let's go to Betty, Boston, Massachusetts. Betty, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you, Steve?
Excellent. What's happening in your life?
Well, thank you for taking my call, and this is my first time calling. I'm excited.
Good. How can we help?
Yeah. Well, I have a question. So my question is, I'd like to know if I am, wrong for taking my daughter's ex-boyfriend. So he wanted to take me out for dinner so that he can talk to me about his breakup with their relationship with my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So my daughter got upset. My daughter got upset with me, extremely upset due to the fact that I went out with him. She felt like, I'm not on his side, but the fact that, I'm not supportive enough emotionally. I asked before I went out with him, and I asked her if she's okay to join us, and she said no. But I went out with him anyway because they were in a relationship for 4 years. So I wanted to know if I did something wrong for doing that,
Well, let's start with you, Jill. What do you think here? She went out for dinner
mm-hmm.
with her daughter's ex-boyfriend.
To have something be right or wrong, Betty, is not always what we are looking for. I can certainly understand your daughter's upset, and I can also understand you're having a relationship with this young man after 4 years and wanting maybe a chance to say goodbye or to connect with him, and that you have relationship with him that's also apart from your daughter. It's mm-hmm. walking a fine line there, and I think what your daughter is needing from you, though, is to know that you mm-hmm. are with her,
yeah.
right? And that whether you agree with her or not, that she is your priority.
Absolutely.
And I think those are the things to apologize for.
More on this after this break.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of 7 books, including Growth Has No Boundaries by Drs. John Townsend and Henry Cloud, Take Your Life Back by Steve Arterburn and Dr. Dave Stoop, and the Emotional Freedom Workbook. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Yep, we're back. Steve Arterburn here, Jackie Mack Harris, and Dr. Jill Hubbard. All of us right here. We're talking to Betty, and had a little dinner there with the ex-boyfriend. So, Jackie Mack, you want to finish up with a comment or two here?
Yeah. Hi, Betty. I was just thinking, The dinner has happened, right? You made a choice. The daughter didn't want to go. There was something about it that seemed important or necessary for you. And now in the aftermath, your daughter is upset. And I think probably the best thing you can do for her is just to hold that for her. Give her space to be upset and give her space in the same way you made space for that young man to share his perspective. And you went on that and had that dinner with him. Just be that for your daughter. Yeah. Let her be upset. She doesn't like the choice you made, and that's okay. She gets to not like it, and you can show her love and support by just being there and validating, yeah, I understand why that was upsetting, and I'm so sorry that that upset you. Is there, what do you need from me now? And right, just mm-hmm. being with her and letting her know that she is your priority, but also you needed some closure, or you had some questions, and 4 years is a long time, when mm-hmm. we bring people into our lives and our families, we have to realize that it's not just the two of us, right? It's not just the girlfriend, boyfriend. And I think our kids they're young. They don't know that yet. They don't know that we form attachments as well.
Yeah.
All right. And I just wonder if you might, in holding it for her, just say, I just want you to know, I didn't realize you would be this upset. Or I would have spent a lot more time talking with you about what it would mean if I did. I mean, he was part of our lives. I did. I had my own relationship with him. And when he broke up with you, he's breaking up with the family there. But boy, if I'd known, I would have just talked it through with you and maybe decided differently.
Yeah.
But now that I've gone, let's pick this up and let's use some of the insight I gained and let's go forward. I hope you're not going to hold it against me forever. And then, like Jackie Mac Harris was saying, you just hold that and you don't have to ever say you're sorry again or talk about it again. It just happened. It's rough.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to send you a copy of Take Your Life Back and Healing is a Choice. Both of those coming your way, and I hope that that's going to help you. Let me just send you, I'm not going to send those to you. I'll send you Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers, and that might be something to have laying around the house that she might pick up, and because she's going to have to forgive you. And boy, when we don't forgive our parents, does that ever destroy us, not them, but it really hurts our relationship with them. So I'll send that to you. All right, now I want to go to Lois, Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania there. WORD is the station. Lois, how are you today?
I'm good, Steve. How are you doing?
Excellent. What's going on in your life that we might be able to help you with?
Well, I took your advice. I called in last year and spoke with you and Jill, and I think it was Henry, and I asked about dating, and you gave me great advice.
What did he tell you?
In November, my dad. You told me to go for it. It was like, what are you waiting for? Because I said I worked through so many issues. I was ready. And then in November, my dad got COVID. I came up from Florida to Pennsylvania. I let a good friend of mine know, a friend of mine that I had dated 40 years ago. I dated him 10 years after that. Never, like, it just for different, and then we talked through all that, and my dad survived. It was great. He got brain cancer and died, but, I mean, he was ready to go, and it's not a bad thing. So, this is what happened. He invited me to see him. I drove to see him. We had a fantastic time, and then my family, they were against it. For whatever reason, I don't know. I was with my dad 7 weeks, Steve. I took care of him, did everything. And I took those 2 nights off, and they were not pleased. So they started calling him, getting his unlisted number, telling him I was crazy. They tried to get me committed, but that didn't work because I'm not crazy. I mean, I am bipolar, but, hey, I know what I do to stay healthy. And so what happened is he stepped back way, 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 way back. So I thought, well, you know, this is a shame. And I, at this point, like, we had planned for me to move down near him at the end of the summer when he retires. And I don't think that's looking too good right now. Like, I've called and left messages, and he has not returned my calls, not even to offer condolences, which I was, you know, kind of surprised at.
Yeah.
This is the same guy from 40 years ago, right?
That, 40 years ago, correct.
Okay. And your family, since it was 40 years ago, did your family have relationship with him back then?
Yes, they knew him. Okay. I rented from his mother. He's a good guy. He's a great guy.
What is their objection?
You know what my daughter said? She said every time that you're happy, Mom, they just don't seem... They'd rather I was depressed, because then they don't ever have to worry, because I'm stuck somewhere on a couch. Does that make sense? And we lost my mom to suicide 40-some years ago. So, and I told the doctor that, in the ER. I said, I'll tell you exactly what this is about. And he was very disgusted. And it was a big mess. They weren't going to bring me my car, which then, hey, Grand Theft Auto, you don't want to bring me my car. They don't want to put me
Lois,
in the car.
Well, that's just very strange stuff here.
Lois, let me ask.
Oh, my gosh.
Let me ask you this. Have you had some manic episodes where your family has had to step in?
Correct, yes.
Okay. So when you're depressed, they know where you're at, right?
Yes.
Okay. So that's part of, it's a safety issue, partly, right? And it's how the family has organized around you and your bipolar, right? And some,
right?
So it's not the healthiest for sure, but it's understandable to a degree.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a fear response.
Mm-hmm.
So when they see you doing well and happy and engaged with someone, they think, oh no, here she goes.
Right.
She's gonna spiral, and they begin to, you know, get themselves together and try to put out the fire that is just a little bit of smoldering embers that you started on purpose. And so they don't know how to see you happy and content, because in the past your seemingly happy and content meant you were in a manic episode.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's the question? What can we help you with?
Well, if I know him the way that I do, and I know him well, and he knows me very well, I like to think that down the road, things are going to work out. But in the meantime, I started dating someone.
Okay. Well,
I'm just not. Yeah, I'm ready. I want to date. I like company. You know, I enjoy being with someone.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I was devastated.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, my family threw me out of my father's home, and I was homeless.
So, what were you hoping? Overnight. What were you hoping we would help you with when you called?
Well, it does help. I do try to understand their point of view, but...
But what were you hoping we could do for you here? What were you... When you called, what was the purpose of the call?
I want to know if you think there's a chance, or do I want to know what my next action would be towards my friend, just casually... sending him a short card once in a while because I'm paying him back for my breaks. So I include a check. And, you know, in that, you know, I'm sorry for the trouble I caused you. Or
well,
I just don't
here's
even
what
know
I
what
would
to
say.
Say.
I'll let... anyway, here's what I'm thinking. So the bigger problem is your parents jumping into your stuff to that degree to tell somebody you're interested in that you are crazy. There are a lot of things that we can accept. They say, I don't like this guy, or I don't think... But when your parents betray you by telling that person you're interested in, she is crazy. You really need... I would have a counselor that would help me with some kind of strategy to deal with that. As far as this guy goes, he was much more aligned with what your parents were saying, and he backed away, and so that's not good.
Yeah. No, you're right.
So I don't know that pursuing this guy is really in your best interest. Jackie Mack, what do you think?
I agree. He set a boundary. I would honor that, and that also shows that you're in a clear thinking place.
There you go.
That you can honor the boundary that he set. Just be respectful of that, and maybe get someone family counseling to work with that family that is probably still feeling some effects of their traumatic experience of being with you in your past episodes. Maybe there's some work to be done there among the family.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. As many of you know, we really do need your help. We've got a matching fund. We'd love to see your $10 gift be $20 because everything you give is matched. And when you give us a gift of any amount, we send you, Dr. Dave Stoops, You Are What You Think. And I really hope and pray that if you are able to do it, maybe you've never done it before, you could help us. It's very expensive to do this. We do a lot of things, but this is the most valuable thing that we do, is this radio broadcast. And I hope you can help us by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And again, we'll send you Dr. Dave Stoops' book, You Are What You Think. Let's go to Carol, see what she's thinking. Ocala, Florida is the station. Carol, how are you today? What's going on?
Could you hold on just 1 second?
Absolutely. Yeah, don't mind us. We're fine.
All of a sudden, somebody's coming in my driveway.
Oh, boy.
All of a sudden, somebody's coming in my driveway. So I'm going to call back, okay?
All right, you call back. All right, so there we go. You know, life happens. Life absolutely happens. Go to Julie, Seattle, Washington, KGNW. Hi, Julie. How are you today?
Well, I'm very fine, thank you. How are y'all?
Good. If you need to go, just let us know. We'll get back to you. Anyway, by the way, we're doing another program after this, so she will be able to get through. And if you want to join us right after this, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to Julie. Julie, how can we help today? And we hope we can.
Well, I met your ministry 26 years ago, and you guys finally, I was at age 50, I'm now at 76, and I was so filled with shame. I didn't know that. I'd been seeking help since I was 17. Never got the help I needed till I met you guys. Hmm. And so I'm no longer living in shame. Wow, that's wonderful. I can confront. I can live life. However, when I started with your ministry, I had a friend who lost her dad, and I don't know how many years it had been, but she was grieving, and I didn't know what grieving was because I never grieved either of my parents.
Mm.
I hated both of them. And through help with the years and healing and whatnot, I don't hate them. I understand them now, totally forgiven. Never severed relationship with them, though, through the years. In fact, I took care of my dad before he died. And, you know, it took a lot of effort. But anyway, my question is, she said, when she was grieving her father, I asked her, well, what does it feel like? Because I've never had that grieving when I left people or people left me. And she said it feels like my left arm was just ripped off of my body. And I could understand that. I understand physical pain. But I've never felt that. And I'm just wondering how do you connect? How do you come to the place of trusting a relationship enough? Anyway, that's my question.
Okay. All right, Jackie Mack, what are you thinking here when you hear someone that's never really had a deep connection?
Yeah.
Doesn't have anything to compare it to.
I'm thinking emotional avoider from How We Love. I'm wondering if you've ever read the book How We Love. It talks about a handful of love styles and how we interact in interpersonal relationships. And for some of us as emotional avoiders, we have learned to be self-sufficient and independent. We sometimes can have the attitude of, I don't need anyone. We care about people, and we can be compassionate and caregiving. But the part of the heart that would feel the loss generally doesn't. People who are emotional avoiders might say things like, oh, I'm fine, and genuinely mean it, and they don't really miss their loved ones when they're gone. And so it can be hard for the other person in relationship with them, because other people want to feel needed. And the emotional avoider, while they might love someone, they don't necessarily need anyone, because they didn't have caregivers who responded in ways that made it safe for them to need someone. So they just learned to take care of themselves. And so as I'm listening to you, I'm wondering if that's been an experience of yours, where you're the person who's fine, kind of even keel, and kind of independent, self-sufficient, emotionally don't get very riled or upset. And you've just really turned the volume way down on your emotional expression, and a closed mouth doesn't get fed. So if you're turned down on expressing, you probably aren't receiving in the same way or depth as well. And so it would be hard to sense that connection.
So what should she do?
I've
got a couple of minutes.
I would read How We Love and start to explore your own love style and make some decisions on if you want to shift that at this point. Has it served you well? Is there something that you want to do differently? But reading How We Love, I think, could be really informational and educational.
Eye-opening.
That's mm-hmm. the word I'm looking for, eye-opening.
Jill, any brief comments?
Well, Julie, I'm sad for you because there's a whole depth and wealth of relationship that can happen. And so sometimes we just have to start by putting our toe in the water, mm-hmm. right? And deciding that those walls that we've erected, we're going to just open them a little crack. And you get to be in control of that. It's not going to be a flood coming in. You can open it just a crack and start to ask yourself questions about, about how you care about others. And you know, I like that you asked your friend, what does it feel like?
Yeah.
And
there's
that's a good thing. Yeah, that's a good thing to ask, to try to understand that.
So, also, when we've never had a deep, consistent, reliable relationship, sometimes it's the person, like an older female therapist for a female,
mm-hmm.
that helps us to see, hey, this is what it feels like. This is the beginning. And then we can transfer that over to other folks outside of the therapy session. I really hope that, I'll send you How We Love. I think you'll find some really helpful information there. Sorry, but I'm really glad you're asking. You're not giving up. You're moving forward. And anybody that thinks you're stuck or it's too late or you're beyond hope, you're wrong. And we can help you, but you have to call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We do not have your phone number. We do not have any way to know that you're struggling. You have to call us. It's the only way it works. And we're there, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you help us, we'll send you a copy of Dr. Dave Stoop's book, You Are What You Think. And I hope that'll be a blessing to you. Saturday, June the 12th, we'll be doing that memorial service at 10 a.m. over at St. Andrew's, and everybody is invited. That'll be a great, wonderful time to celebrate the life of a very great man. In the meantime, we have counselors that are brilliant and wise, and they're committed to Christ. And if you've never had counseling, or you've got a counselor and you just think they're not, it's not what I need, call us 1-800-NEW-LIFE and let us help you. We would love to help you. But we can't do it without you, and so I mentioned we have a matching gift, and any dollar you send, it gets matched with another one. So we'd love it for you to have the double the impact, and I think you'll change your feeling about New Life because you'll feel part of us when you start to support us, and when you hear people's lives changed, you'll know, hey, I helped with that life. Every Man's Battle is online June the 12th. Please come join us. Restore June the 25th in Dallas, and our Marriage Intensive July 23rd in Washington, D.C. Emotional Freedom August 14th. Thank you for being here. Thank you, Jackie Mack Harris. Thank you, Dr. Jill Hubbard, and all of you who listen, watch, and pray.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.